Nowadays, if you make a phone call to just about any company, the technology that allows you to say your account number or to simply tell what the service that you are looking for from that company is amazing. And I was truly blessed to be one of the people involved with Bell Labs of Columbus, Ohio, did a lot of flying time, in developing speech recognition over the telephone. After teaching voice response technology for AT&T in New York, in 1994, my family was moved down to Jacksonville to join a remarkable team who used this cutting-edge technology on every single phone call that came into AT&T Universal Card. I could go on for hours about it, but I promise I won't. About how the spoken phrase is broken down to the smallest sound, called a phoneme, and then matched against a database of words, which are then transferred to phonemes and matched. Account numbers, mother's maiden name, I want to talk to somebody, representative, all those things, or whatever you could imagine. And I was really blessed to be teamed up with some of the most gifted and talented people as we took the concept of speech recognition and made it a reality. And today, it has become an expected norm in the industry. Well, people wonder why. Why does a company do this? Are they trying to aggravate me? You got to understand something. It costs about 8 cents to process a call through the computer and give you the account balance or the information that you're looking for, getting a duplicate statement, all of those things. And if you get to a representative, it costs about $3 because that representative has a salary and an overhead and benefits and so on. And that's just to tell you why we did what we did. And if you had an AT&T Universal card way back when, from 1994 until 2002, if you called that company, you are, and for, quite frankly, many of the places in AT&T, you might hear, "Welcome to AT&T Universal Card. Please touchtone or speak your 16-digit account number now." I was on millions of calls giving people bad news, but saving the company a boatload of money. And it was all about recognizing what the people wanted. Or should I say what they needed rather than what they wanted? They always wanted a representative. And they would punch all the buttons and do everything they could to get a representative. And we tried to make that difficult. And so if that was frustrating, it's my fault. The team's fault. Today's Holy Gospel lets us recognize Jesus as the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, and then assures us that Jesus and the Father are one. Today, we see who Jesus is beyond the resurrection. We see him in reality as the true Son of God. Well, Jesus is walking in the colonnade or portico of Solomon in the temple in Jerusalem. It was a cold day. It was Hanukkah. It was winter, which meant for Jerusalem a raw, cold wind blew in from the east, possibly even accompanied by snow. Yeah, it does snow in Jerusalem. You might not recognize or realize that, but it is high on a mountain, and it does get snow. Jesus was walking in the part of the temple that was enclosed, and so it sheltered him from that windy, cold weather. As he walked, prayed, and meditated, a group of Jews, or Judeans, came to him and asked him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." These people are desperately longing for someone to save them from the horrible conditions in which they live, under the thumb of Rome. They're anxious. And it's not too distant a memory that comes back to them. It is, as a matter of fact, all too real. Because the feast that they're celebrating, the Feast of Dedication, is also known as the Feast of the Maccabees, or Hanukkah. It reminds them of the rededication of the temple after it had been desecrated during the persecution of Antiochus Epiphanes, emperor of the Greco-Syrian Empire in 168 BC. These people want a deliverer, and they want him now. And so they pump Jesus for answers. Well, Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Standing right there in front of them is the Christ, the Messiah. And they're just not getting it. Jesus even comes right out to tell the Jews that he is the Christ, the Messiah. He tells them that he has told them over and over again who he is, but they just will not believe. Talk about a stubborn-necked people. That's what God called them in the Bible. He speaks, but they do not hear. They have no speech recognition. Jesus wants us to hear his words. He wants us to understand who he is in our lives. He wants us to know and believe that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep. He wants us to follow his voice. He wants us to hear his words of peace and comfort in our lives. But sometimes you and I have a difficult time hearing. Let me just give you a little background about shepherds in the time of Jesus. They didn't walk after the flock. They didn't have dogs to help them. It was the shepherd and the flock. And a shepherd could call the flock and they would walk behind him. He would lead them wherever they went, like sheep. Sheep follow their master. They would not follow anyone else's voice. One of the things Jesus is asking us to understand about him as our shepherd, as our risen Christ, is that we need to hear his voice and follow it in this world. But we might have a difficult time hearing his voice. And though there are times that it might seem that we are deaf to his voice, he's reminding us that Jesus really wants to be patient with us. He wants a bond of trust and understanding between us, and so that we will take the time to hear his voice, so that we can trust in him, so that we will know he wants what is best for us, and we can follow where he leads. I have to ask you, isn't it true that we can be too easily distracted in this rush of the modern world? Maybe we aren't deaf to the words of Jesus. Maybe we don't have a hearing problem as much as we hear what we want to hear, and we tune out Jesus and tune in on all the other sounds and words of the world as it rushes by. Maybe part of our problem is we don't have a trusting relationship with Jesus to listen intently to his words. And maybe we only listen to what we want to listen to. And far too much of the listening is centered on the world, and not enough is on Jesus. We tune him out instead of focusing our attention on him. Reminds me of two men who were walking along a sidewalk in a crowded city. Suddenly one of the men said, "What a lovely sound that cricket is making." But the other man didn't hear the cricket. He asked his friend, "How can you hear this cricket in the midst of the roar of traffic and the sound of all the people?" The first man, who was a zoologist, had trained himself to hear the sounds of nature. He didn't explain to his friend how he heard the sound of the cricket, but instead he reached into his pocket, pulled out a 50-cent piece, dropped it on the sidewalk, and watched intently as dozens of people began to look for the coin that they heard hit the sidewalk. In spite of the city sounds and all the people, they heard the clink He turned to his friend and simply said to him, "We hear what we listen for." And isn't that true? About 18 years ago, when our son John Eric was much younger, as we worshiped at Church of the Redeemer in Jacksonville, I was asked to help my friend, who was the music leader. His name was Paul, and he asked me to help with a unique children's sermon. And I was set up in the sacristy, which was behind, with a microphone, while Paul, who was giving the sermon, spoke directly to the children who were gathered around him in the sanctuary of the church. It was about today's gospel. And Paul would announce that the kids were about to hear a voice, and they needed to identify who the character was. In my radio career, I was blessed to do a lot of voice impressions, and so Paul had me have some fun with the kids. First, I gave them Donald Duck, and they got it immediately. Next, Barney the Dinosaur, and they got that one right away, too. And last was Mickey Mouse, and they all said, "Mickey!" Except my son, John Eric, who loudly proclaimed, "That's my daddy." So when Paul asked him why he said that, John answered, "I would know my daddy's voice anywhere." Funny thing was, we didn't even tell him to say that or plan for that. We had a lot more planned. I mean, we had Tigger and all sorts of other voices, but that was enough. John had made the whole point of the sermon. Sermon was done. The Jews heard, but they did not believe. They saw all of Jesus' signs and miracles. They mean the same thing, semeion in Greek, signs and miracles. They saw it, but they did not get his message. We have heard his words down through the centuries, through the Bible, through preaching, through the sacrament, that Jesus is the Christ, the risen Lord. We've seen his deeds as the Holy Spirit has worked in the lives of countless people, relieving them of illnesses, of cancer. But still, some don't believe. Still, some have a difficult time centering their attention, their focus on this shepherd who would guide the lives of his people, of his sheep. How truly blessed we are to have an advantage over these people in Jesus' time. We have the whole story from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books of the Bible. We've seen in the Holy Scriptures the witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In each of the last three Sundays, we've seen a powerful witness that without a doubt, Jesus has risen from the dead and is alive today. Many leaders throughout the years have died, and they're still in their tombs. Our leader, our Savior, our God, walked out of his. We should be able to trust in him, to follow him, to believe in his lordship for our lives with greater conviction than the Judeans, the Jews, who approached Jesus in the temple. But sadly, still some people doubt. Many people still do not trust Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Many people are still looking, are still searching for the meaning and the purpose to their lives. Many have found no one to help with the burdens they carry. They're still wandering without any direction, without any goal. Absolutely no idea of what to make for their life, what they want to accomplish with the God-given gifts and talents that they have been so generously given. The key to hearing Jesus' voice is to let him have control. Give him permission in your life. Surrender to him so that he can be your good shepherd, so that he can take care of you by giving you guidance, giving you peace, giving you a sense of worth and direction. The reaction by the Jews in the temple was not one of recognition, of welcoming or acceptance, but instead, as the Gospel of John tells in the words immediately following today's Holy Gospel reading and you listen to this carefully, again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? John 10:31-32. There was absolutely no gratitude for the healings, the miracles, or the lessons that he taught them. Instead, they wanted to kill Jesus. What about the many people on this earth that have not heard the voice of Jesus? Or, God forgive them, have outwardly rejected his message or even rejected him personally? Jesus tells us of his intentions just moments before today's gospel, revealing his plan for the world. And you know these words. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. John 10:14-16. Jesus' plan for salvation is not just for the people of Israel, but for the Gentiles also. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Those are Jesus' words as recorded in Mark 7:16. His invitation is for the whole world. But sadly, there are those who refuse, who pick up the stones to throw. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that their hearts would be changed, that their ears would be opened, and that they would open the door to their hearts to Christ. It's a matter of life and death, their eternal life and death. And so I ask you today, do you have ears to hear him in your life? Are you listening? Or are you doing all the talking? Jesus went to the cross so that each one of us may have forgiveness of our sins, so that each one of us can, in spite of our unworthiness, seek him and invite him into our lives. Today is the perfect day to begin a relationship with Jesus as Lord of your life, as your good shepherd. Please give him permission today and receive a special kind of speech recognition. Recognition of his voice. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.